One Man's Family, brought to you, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer, Bactine, and many other fine, dependable pharmaceutical products. Listen at the end of the program. We'll tell you how you can get your copy of the new Barber Family album. Overheard between Paul and Henry up in Paul's studio.
Paul, I've been down trying to write a letter to Teddy.
Yes, Dad?
Concerning her divorce.
I see.
Your mother insists that I consult you before sending the letter. Apparently, I'm no longer the head of this family.
Mm-hmm. So that's how it is with the barbers today. Friends, on those occasions when you eat too much or too fast or when you eat something that doesn't agree with you and acid indigestion results, take Alka-Seltzer. Yes, Alka-Seltzer can give welcome relief from acid indigestion. Just drop one or two Alka-Seltzer tablets into a glass of water, watch while it fizzes and dissolves, then drink the sparkling, refreshing solution. See how fast Alka-Seltzer can relieve the distress of acid indigestion because it acts so quickly to reduce excess gastric acidity. Remember Alka-Seltzer for relief from acid indigestion. Ask your druggist for Alka-Seltzer. First, fast, and always. Chapter 22, Book 84. Henry Barber has been harboring a hope that some way, somehow, the separation between his granddaughter Teddy and her husband, Dr. Elwood Giddings, would not result in divorce. That hope is fast turning to despair. But Father Barber is not one to give up easily. It is 8 o'clock in the evening now, and he has just climbed the last flight of stairs leading to Paul's studio at the top of the family home. Henry pauses indecisively at the door for a moment, then he knocks.
Yes? Come in.
I'd like to see you for a moment, Paul.
Okay, Dad. Now, judge from your expression, it's something rather serious. Sit down.
Yeah. Paul, I've been sitting at my desk down in the library trying to write a letter to your daughter.
Oh?
I say trying because I was unable to finish it, due in a large measure to your mother's interference. She takes the position that this recent development between Teddy and Elwood is none of my business, that I should take the matter up with you. Now, I realize, of course, that you are Teddy's father, and it's not that I am in any way trying to usurp your position, you understand, but I do think it's extremely urgent that if anything can be done to forestall a divorce, it must be done. After talking to Elwood, I'm convinced that he would not go ahead with divorce proceedings if he felt that there was any hope that Teddy might eventually come back to him.
I've seen Elwood too, Dad, and I've told him that there's no possibility of a reconciliation. Teddy wrote me and made that very definite.
But we can't just stand by and permit this without at least making some effort to stop it.
Nothing you can do is going to stop it.
Well, perhaps if I talk to Elwood again, I might persuade him not to enter the suit just yet. You would have no objections to that?
Dad, the divorce complaint has already been filed.
Huh?
Yes, I'm afraid you'll just have to face the inevitable. Elwood had his attorney start the divorce proceedings over in Marin County this afternoon.
How do you know?
Elwood called me at the airport this morning. He'd received a letter from Teddy, and he said he realized that no hope remained, so he was going ahead.
Yeah. So the mill has started to grind out another travesty. The first barber to have a marriage dissolved by a court of law. Why didn't somebody tell me this had happened?
I've told you.
I mean, why wasn't I consulted? I've lived a great many years, my boy. It's possible that I've gained some wisdom over such a long span.
None of us denies that. You have great wisdom, Dad, and all of us have tremendous respect for your opinion and for your judgment.
Yeah. No, Paul, I see new evidence of it every day.
Of what?
I've always taken great pride in my position in this family as head of this house. It's been a responsibility, and at the same time, the source of much pleasure to be looked upon as the fountainhead, so to speak. Oh, I realize I've made mistakes, been guilty of impulsiveness on occasions, perhaps overbearing when I should have been sympathetic, indulgent when it would have been better to be firm, and vice versa. Yes, I'm fully aware of all this, but a man doesn't yield his high place without some regret.
You haven't yielded anything, Dad. Because something has happened that is entirely beyond your control, does it mean that your position has changed?
It's been a gradual, subtle thing, my boy. I don't wish to be petty about it. I suppose when a person gets along in years, he should accept it as the fitting and proper sequence of events, and he should step aside graciously.
Well, I'm not altogether sure I know what you're getting at.
Simply this. Whether this family realizes or not, you are coming to be regarded as the head of this house.
Why, I don't agree with you, Dad.
My boy, you are not doing justice to my intelligence or your own to deny it. When my children or my grandchildren are faced with a sore problem, to whom do they come? To me or to you? You know the answer. Mind you, I'm not speaking in vexation. I'm putting into words what I have been thinking and observing. They politely pay their respects to me and make their way up here to your studio to see what Paul has to say.
I know, but more often than not, it's simply a visit, Dad. I don't think you should infer that you're being bypassed and my counsel is being sought over yours.
I think that's exactly what it does mean, of late.
Well, I'm glad you've told me. I certainly have no wish to take your place. Nobody could ever do that.
That time is bound to come, however. And in reflecting on it, I feel a certain gratification that there is someone of your capabilities who can assume this responsibility.
Dad, I'm very happy to have it stay right where it is, with you, where it belongs.
Yeah, we have had many disagreements and arguments through the years, Paul, but basically, I think we have a fine understanding of each other, and I cherish that.
So do I, Dad. Thanks for coming up. It's been an honest talk, and I liked it.
Yeah. I feel somewhat easier in my mind. Not that we've actually solved anything, but... Well, you will keep me informed if anything new develops regarding Teddy and Elwood?
Yes.
Yeah, very well.
Hey, Paul, could I... Oh, I didn't know you were up here, Dad.
I was just leaving, Clifford. Good night, Paul.
Good night, Dad.
Clifford.
Hey, did I bust in on something, Paul?
No, he'd started to go.
Oh, nothing wrong, is there? He looked kind of preoccupied. Whenever I see Dad looking that way, the first thing that pops into my head is that he's worrying about me not working.
But you are working.
Sure, but he gave me a start there for a second before I realized I didn't have to feel guilty. Now that I got a job. Gives you a rough idea of the way my mind's been operating during my enforced idleness, shall we say.
Well, how's the job going?
It's okay. Nice atmosphere down there at Brown and Tedler's. It's a little hoity-toity, but everybody treats me swell. Of course, a guy just can't be too set up being a tie salesman. Even if it is the classiest men's shop in town. Did I say tie? Oh, pardon me, slip of the tongue. We do not sell neckties at Brown and Tedler's. We sell cravats. Cravats for gentlemen.
Well, you're keeping your sense of humor anyway. That's something.
Yeah, it's a little hard sometimes, though. Like today, a guy came in I haven't seen since college. I sold him half a dozen cravats at $12.50 a copy, and when I was making out his charge slip, he suddenly recognized me. He's very patronizing. Took great pains to tell me what a big shot he was in the advertising business and all the dough he was making. You know the type. Oh, brother. Makes you feel like two bits.
He probably feels like two bits inside. If he didn't, he wouldn't have to tell you what a big shot he was.
Yeah, guess you're right at that. Well, say, what I came up for was to ask if I could borrow your car tonight if you're not going to use it.
Sure. Go ahead.
Told Toots I'd run over and see her for a while. Then I got looking at television in my room, didn't realize what time it was. And it's beginning to get a little late and I...
Hello. Oh, hi, Jack. From Nicolette? Oh, when did she call you? Oh, I see. Well, I'm glad somebody finally heard from her. But I guess she's been busy.
She's been busy as the dickens, Paul. Yeah, Betty and I had quite a long talk with her. She asked me to call you and tell you she was okay and would write as soon as she landed in Paris. She was phoning from Washington.
Tell him she was just leaving to catch the plane.
Yeah, she's flying to Paris. Pretty exciting, huh? I'll say we miss her, but believe it or not, everything's been going smooth as silk ever since she left.
Knock on wood.
Betty says knock on wood. Well, we're really pretty proud of the way the kids have been acting. Regular little angels. Okay, Paul. Night. I think Paul wondered a little bit why Nicolette didn't telephone him, too.
What did he say?
Oh, nothing, really. Maybe I'm just imagining it.
Well, it's natural she should call us. After all, this was her home.
Oh, sure, and she's going to write Paul right away.
You know, Jack, this is sort of terrible to say, but it's kind of nice to be alone, don't you think? We don't have to worry whether Nicolette's comfortable or if she's been working too hard.
Yeah.
It isn't nearly as bad as I thought it would be with her gone. Don't you think I've been doing pretty well?
Honey, you've done wonders.
As soon as we get Mary Lou's tonsils out, we won't have a thing in the world to worry about, will we?
Look, Betty, let's not worry about tonsils and teeth tonight. I'm too comfortable.
I'm not worrying about it, Jack. It's just that the doctor said the sooner we got her tonsils out, the better.
Okay, we'll get around to it.
Mommy?
Mary Lou, what are you doing up?
I had to go to the bathroom.
Well, that's no reason for you to come downstairs.
Yes, but the bathroom floor is all covered with water.
Huh? The bathroom's what?
It's flooded, Daddy.
Mary Lou, are you sure?
Uh-huh. See how wet my feet are?
What did you do?
I flushed the toilet and it ran over.
Oh, no.
It's Debbie's fault. She put her toy rabbit in it.
Oh, dear.
I knew it was too good to last, Betty.
Friends, have you sent for your copy of the Barber Family album? Thousands have already sent in for theirs, and we know you'll be just as delighted with this new edition as they will be. It shows a picture of Pinky in his new Navy uniform. You'll see pictures of Margaret herself, who assembled the album and dedicated it to Pinky. There are photographs of Father and Mother Barber, of Paul, of Hazel, Clifford, all their families, and everyone you hear about on these One Man's Family programs. You'll see newspaper clippings, a copy of Father and Mother Barber's wedding certificate, and the latest diagram of the Barber family tree, so you can renew your acquaintance with the family and know who belongs where. And the back cover of the album shows a map of Seacliff and where everybody lives. You'll enjoy Margaret's cute comments, too, for they are very much like the writings of a teenage girl who is president of the Stalwarts Club. So don't delay. The offer is limited. Get your new Barber family album just as soon as you can. To get one, just go to your drugstore and buy a 30 or 70-cent bottle of Bactine, spelled B-A-C-T-I-N-E, Bactine. It's the truly new kind of family antiseptic with many different uses in the home. Then when you get your bottle of Bactine, tear off the top of the box, enclose 10 cents in coin to help cover the cost of handling and mailing, and send it to Bactine, Elkhart, Indiana. That's all. A box top from either size bottle of Bactine, 10 cents, and of course your name and address, mailed to Bactine, Elkhart, Indiana. This is really an attractive and interesting book, this new Barber family album, one that you'll enjoy having in your home, one that you'll enjoy looking at over and over again. All this, friends, for just a box top from a bottle of Bactine plus 10 cents. Get your bottle of Bactine right away. Use it and enjoy it. And enjoy the new Barber family album. Send the box top, 10 cents in coin, and your name and address to Bactine, Elkhart, Indiana. Do it now, won't you? Remember, friends, to get your copy of the beautiful new 20-page Barber Family album, send the top of the box from a 30 or 70-cent bottle of Bactine, along with 10 cents, to B-A-C-T-I-N-E, Bactine, Elkhart, Indiana. Order as many as you like for your friends and your neighbors, but be sure you enclose a Bactine box top and 10 cents for every album you want. Send it to B-A-C-T-I-N-E, Bactine, Elkhart, Indiana. One Man's Family is brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Tomorrow, The Plumber Cometh, Chapter 23, Book 84. This is a Carlton E. Morse production, directed by Michael Raffetto.